Blog Talk Radio.
Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good. I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never, ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
Welcome to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show. I'm your host, Nicole Cleveland, founder of Breathe Again Magazine and author of So He Cheated, Now What? Now, Breathe Again Magazine is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. We just don't talk about the issues. We try to provide you with solutions. We have guests on that have gone through the fire, gone through the storm, and came out on top. And we bring those individuals to you so you know that you are not alone. Our motto is that you do not feel like you are alone. Somebody somewhere has cried the same tears you have cried, yelled, hollered, ran around the church. They did it, and so did you. They made it, and so will you. And that's why we come before you every Thursday, bringing you these guests to provide you with hope. Now, today is another Thursday. I'm so thankful and grateful that I'm here with you yet again. You know, as we listen to the news, as we watch the news and listen to the radio and listen to reports, we know not the day nor the time we're going to be here. As you all know, a musical icon has left this world, but she did leave an impression. And my heart goes out to Whitney Houston's family, her daughter, and all of her fans and loved ones, because she truly will be missed. But I believe that this really just hits home to everyone that tomorrow's not promised. People are not leaving this earth at 90, 100. Some of them are, but more so they're leaving younger. They're leaving 40 and 42 and 48. So live your life to the fullest. Don't put off what you want to do until another day. Do it today. Reconcile with your family members. We just buried my father-in-law this week. Actually, it was on Tuesday. And, you know, we celebrated his life, and he was a man of very few words that said what he meant and meant what he said. And he went on to glory, and it really just tells us to just live our lives like we want to live them. I'm getting all tongue-tied right now, but to God be the glory, because I'm thinking about my father-in-law, and he was such a blessing to so many. Today we are talking about fatherless girls, fatherless children. I grew up without a father, and there's so many thousands and millions of people out here that grew up without a father as well. And the statistics show that, you know, what does it say? It says 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless runaway children are from fatherless homes. The list goes on and on and on. And we just want to let those that are struggling with that and having issues right now know that we made it. My guests made it. I made it. And you can too. So my guest today is Tiana Aiken. She is the founder of Molding Minds Ministries in Hampton, Virginia. Now, Tiana knows firsthand what it's like to grow up without a father, and I brought her on the show because she has a powerful story to tell. She's overcome so many obstacles, but she just really, she's one of those people that kicked statistics in the face and said, you know what, I'm not going to be a statistic. So, Tiana, are you on the line?
I am on the line. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you for having me yet again. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Thank you, darling. Thank you. Thank you. Now, look, let's jump right into it. But first, I want to let you explain or share with the audience who Tiana Aiken is. Who exactly are you, girl?
Tiana Aiken is a black girl that rocks. And she hails from Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in Brooklyn all my life. I've only actually been in Virginia for about 4 years. But I was raised by my mom in a single-parent household. I came from a situation where my dad, you know, was using drugs, and he was in and out of my life throughout my childhood, which set me into a spiral of rebellion. And, you know, I was a good kid, and I was getting really good grades, but I was expressing my anger in an abundance of different ways that sent me down the wrong path. And by the grace of God, I was able to reel it back in, and God put me on a different path and put me in a position where I'm now able to use my testimony and my story to help other people, to influence the lives of others, to talk to young girls, to talk to single moms, and to equip them and give them the tools that they need so that they can avoid those same pitfalls and avoid making those same mistakes and make it out of whatever their circumstance may be. So I'm a survivor, I'm a fighter, I'm forgiven, and I'm here by the grace of God, and I'm proud of all of those things. So.
Amen. I love it, love it, love it. And one thing about you is you are a confident black woman. I tell you, you exude confidence in everything that you do. You are just fine and fabulous, girl.
Thank you, honey. And
you are welcome. You don't let anyone stop you. So let's look at some of these statistics. It looks like, okay, I have some figures in front of me. It looks like 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-oriented institutions come from fatherless homes. 85% of all youth in prison grew up in a fatherless home. And I really want to talk about the girls, though, because it says inconsistent father-daughter relations can have a devastating effect on a female's life by making her more vulnerable to outside influences. Daughters of single parents, in comparison to those from intact homes, are 53% more likely to marry as a teenager, 111% more likely to have children as teenagers, 164% more likely to be a single parent. Now, what happened in your situation? Was your father in your life and then he left, or was he not in your life at all?
Let me start by saying those statistics are staggering. Yeah. I looked up a few that I'm going to spout out later. I have a couple of tips for the single moms out there, so I have some statistics as well. But, I mean, they're just staggering, and it just goes to numbers speak louder than words can at some point. And, I mean, it just blows your mind to think about those numbers and to think about how many children out there are growing up fatherless and really need to be, quote-unquote, saved by their own parents and by us as a community.
Absolutely.
But to answer your question, my dad was actually in my life for a very long time, up until I was maybe about 7 or 8 years old. He was an awesome father, excited to have me, and him and my mom made the cutest couple, and everything was all good. things kind of went to the left when crack cocaine hit the scene. In the 80s, as you know, the crack cocaine epidemic just went haywire.
I mean,
pastors, doctors, lawyers, teachers, everybody and their mother started to experiment, and it was one of those things where if you tried it once, that was it.
Yeah.
You were hooked, and it ruined lives. It ruined families. And unfortunately, my father was one of the people who fell victim to that epidemic. And, you know, once the drugs came on the scene, it really did cloud his judgment. And when someone is using drugs and when someone is battling an addiction, they are sick. They really are, and they're having inner struggles, and they're having so many issues that they can't possibly fathom what their actions are actually doing to their family.
Sure.
So once the drugs came on the scene, things really just started going haywire. My mom was actually an officer. So for her, it was even more, the situation was even more complicated because she was actually
right.
a cop.
Yes.
Inside. So
yes.
That must have just been such a harrowing situation for her to be in, because you are loyal to your family, you love your family, and family comes first, but then also you're an officer of the law. So, you know, imagine having to go down and bail your own husband out.
Right,
or,
exactly.
You know, just imagine this predicament that it put her in as
sure.
well. So, you know, when the drugs came on the scene, you know, my dad really started to disappear and was just very inconsistent, wouldn't come around. He would always come around for, you know, the most memorable things. Like, he would pop up at my graduation just randomly. Like, I mean, it was so funny how just with those little things, he would still pop up. But for the most part, he was gone. And when he did come around, it was always chaos. He would steal from the family. I remember one time he stole my mom's entire paycheck. And he would take things and hurt the people around him. And, you know, everybody would try to show him love and embrace him and try to bring him back in. But at the time, the drug was winning and we were losing.
Right. I was just about to say that, you know, it was a disease. It's a disease. And so, therefore, it was the drug talking as opposed to him. So he was popping up because his spirit really wanted to be there. But the drug
exactly.
will overpower it. So let's fast forward to your teenage years, because we know when we get, some of us, when we become teenagers, something happens on the inside. We're looking for
Most
love in all the wrong places. We want to be loved. I know when
Absolutely.
I was a teenager, I wanted to be loved. I wanted that father figure, but so therefore I was attracted to various different men figures. Didn't matter what kind of man, it was just a man because I was lacking something. Didn't understand that at the time, but now I do. What happened to you as a teenager?
As a teenager, well, let me just say that growing up fatherless, I mean, you can have the best mom in the world, but it does affect your self-worth. It does affect your self-esteem, you know, and your sadness. Initially, you're very sad because every little girl is a daddy's girl, you know, and every little girl wants their father to be around. So initially, you are sad when you're younger. But when you hit those teenage years, that sadness turns into anger.
Yep.
And it turns into rebellion and aggression.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened to me in my teenage years. I mean, everything from fighting to stealing, you know, to dating older guys, looking
right.
for that love and affection in those male figures, that, you know, the same way a lot of young girls do. Because when you don't have that in your life, you crave it. You're seeking it. And whatever outlet is handy at that time is what you're going to plug into. And if it's not a positive male figure like a father, then it's going to be someone else who is going to take advantage of those vulnerabilities that you have and that you present.
Right. I can remember growing up saying to myself, what's wrong with me? Why doesn't he love me? Why doesn't he like me? He doesn't want to be around me. And so, therefore, I internalized it, blamed myself. And so, therefore, when I got older and I got in those teenage years, I put a wall up and I was like, okay, I'm just going to do me. And if I sniff that you're about to break up with me, I'm going to break up with you first because I don't want to be hurt anymore. So I just breaking up with folks and stuff. So
don't feel
that
bad.
Was,
I did
mean,
the same thing.
Yeah, you laugh now. We laugh at it, but back then it was sort of like it went back to not having that father in my life because that man, I didn't want him to hurt me, so therefore I'm going to hurt him first. So, you know, it's crazy how it works.
Exactly, and thank God that we can look back on it and say, oh, my God, I was really crazy. I was really doing that. But, you know, thank God for understanding and thank God for deliverance. But, you know, it's true. You are emotionally detached in relationships. I, too, have walked away from relationships as a defense mechanism or
yep.
was never attached to begin with. Like, if you told me you love me, that's it. I'm walking out. Like, I can't handle all that. It's just too much going on. Because, you know, the words I love you were void because they didn't mean anything anymore from a male figure. So it was very much I'm doing me and please don't get attached to me. I was the man in the relationship. I was not emotionally invested in relationships, but it was a defense mechanism because I wouldn't allow people to get close to me, you know.
Sure.
So, I mean, I can definitely relate to what it is that you're saying.
Now, let's talk about the turnaround, because I'm sure you were bitter, you were angry, like you shared earlier. When did it turn around with you and your father?
Well, with me, I had a really, like I said, I come from a home where my mom was really strong, and, you know, no matter what I did, my mother never let me go. She never took her hands off of me, and she never let me fall victim to the streets, and I thank God for that. My mother and I are so close to this day. That is my boo and my bestie, and we are really, really close because she never gave up on me no matter what I did, no matter how much I rebelled. So all of the stuff that I was doing when my dad would come around, I would really mistreat him. I would not take his phone calls. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to be with him. I would call him every name in the book, and I was just really, really, really angry for quite some time. And that actually lasted all the way into, I want to say, my early 20s. And it wasn't until I conceived my own daughter and I had my own daughter that I really started to take steps toward working on rebuilding the relationship with my father. And, you know, let me just say that my dad is clean and sober, and he's doing really, really well now. He's an electrical engineer. He's an electrical engineer. He has, like, a ton of degrees, a house. I mean, he's doing really, really well, And I thank God for that. So at this time, you know, he had already been clean and sober, and he was still making attempts to try to rebuild the relationship. But I was holding on to so much hurt and to so much pain that all of his attempts fell on deaf ears because I just didn't want to hear it. You know, it wasn't until I had a child of my own that I really realized how important he was in my life and how integral he was going to be to my daughter's life and to just be around. And that's when I started taking the steps to forgive him. I didn't want to be angry anymore. It was so exhausting. Oh, my God. Unforgiveness is so exhausting. It literally drains you. I mean, for real, it sucks the life out of you. And so I was just tired of being mad. And I was just like, you know, I really just want to let this go. And that's what it was.
Yeah, that's good, real good. I found a video online, and I put it on my Facebook page, and I put it on the magazine page. It was on YouTube, and it was called Statistics of a Fatherless Generation, basically. And one of the slides had a point on it, and I want to read it because it said, "Absent fathers is a worldwide epidemic. It touches more people than AIDS." Some people will read that and kind of just gloss over it and go to the next slide, but that stuck out to me because it said it touches more people than AIDS, and it really does because it just doesn't affect the one person. It affects generations.
Exactly.
It affects how if you don't get it under control and you don't get that bitterness and that anger under control and forgive, it affects how you treat your children. It affects how you treat men. It affects how you treat relationships really moving forward. So I thought that was very interesting. Tiana, you know, Breathe Again Magazine is a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. I want you to encourage somebody right now that's listening or will come back and listen to the archive that is still fighting with the fact that their father left them, maybe never wanted to be in their life, and they're dealing with some internal issues right now. Give them a few tips to encourage them and move past this pain.
You know, the first thing that I have to say is that your past does not determine your future. You know, everything that we go through and everything that we're going through now, our testimony shapes us, and our testimony is going to be used in the long run for ourselves, to minister to ourselves, and to minister to others. So everything that you have gone through and everything that you're currently going through is not in vain. So that's one. I mean, without you and I having our testimonies, we wouldn't be doing the things that we're doing now. You wouldn't have Breathe Again. I wouldn't have Mold and Minds. And we wouldn't be changing hundreds of thousands of lives without the things that we went through. So our pain is all wrapped up in our purpose.
That's right.
You know, so that's one. And the other thing that I would say is that, you know, God has played such a, for someone who grew up without a father, I have the most awesome father in the world that is irreplaceable. And that's something that I discovered once I came into relationship with God. I mean, God just, he exudes every trait that a natural father could have, and then it's times 10 because he's just that awesome. So, you know, I would say to lean on God for your forgiveness, for to be your source of strength, your source of power, and to help you deal with those issues that you have and help you actually turn that around and turn it into something purposeful. We all have an awesome father. Even if we don't have a natural father, we have a father that is in the spirit that is more amazing than we could ever think. So
that's the truth. That is the truth. And those are some really good tips. I feel like I'm in testimony service right now because I do have, it's ironic that we scheduled this show on today because last week I went to visit my father. Now, I haven't seen my father in years. I believe it's been 15 years or so. He was not in my life. And then all of a sudden, a couple years ago, he just all of a sudden called me out of the blue. And I was really shocked because I had made up in my mind, I don't have a father. It's cool. I have done what I needed to do. It made me who I am. I'm good. And so, therefore, there goes that wall again. So when he called, I was shocked and it was like, oh, okay, how you doing? Oh, this is your dad. Really? Okay. All right. So then when I got off the phone with him, I just broke down and I start crying because all those feelings were dormant. All those feelings were masked and they were covered up, and that little girl still wanted her father. So I haven't seen him in years and years and years. We started rebuilding the relationship, talking on the phone. He calls into the radio show, listens to the show all the time. And this week I took all his grandchildren, all three of my children, up there to see him, and I was like, he's kind of cool. Okay, I got a dad.
Oh, that's so awesome.
And the kids played with him, and it was nice. It was really nice. So I just bless God for forgiveness, and I bless God for allowing me to be open and receptive and not being hateful and bitter. So to God be the glory, because he is doing great things for us, our relationship, and I'm just honored. I really am honored to say that I have a daddy.
That is amazing, and I'm so proud of you. I remember you were telling me about it a couple of months ago at my event. I'm so proud of you. That is awesome. And look at how the forgiveness in the relationship with your husband laid the framework and the foundation for you to step out and forgive your father, because I'm sure that that made it easier because you had practice with the situation with your husband. So that's awesome. And although you have an awesome family and that's all well and good, your father, imagine how much he's adding to your children's lives and how fulfilling that could be for him as well. So that
Absolutely.
Is great.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? We've been talking and talking and talking, and I have not taken a break yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to pause for a second. We're going to take a break, come right back, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Molding Minds Ministries and what you're doing over in the Hampton area.
Great. And I also want to give you some tips out there for the single moms who are raising daughters and sons by themselves also. Let's give them some encouragement.
Okay, wonderful. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Did he cheat and you don't know what you're going to do? Are you struggling with rebuilding trust? If not, then you know someone that is. So He Cheated, Now What? By Nicole Cleveland is one woman's personal testimony of overcoming an affair in her marriage, an affair that produced a child. No, it's not about catching a cheating spouse or six ways to get him back or 12 ways to find out if he's cheating. It's all about forgiveness and moving past the pain into her purpose. Visit SophieCheated.com or call 757-404-1582.
Welcome back to Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show, a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. I hope you were able to catch that first segment. I was talking to Tiana Aiken, and we were talking about growing up without a father and providing tips and encouragement to those that are out there growing up right now without a father or still dealing with the pain of growing up without a father. Well, right now we're going to shift gears a bit and focus on her organization. Now, Tiana is the founder of Molding Minds Ministries in Hampton, Virginia. Tiana, tell us a little bit about Molding Minds and what it is you do and who you serve.
Molding Minds is doing a little bit of everything right about now. but we do serve youth in the community. We also serve single moms and women. We have a women's empowerment network where we help women from all different backgrounds and demographics. And then we also have a missionary outreach program which helps the homeless and other populations that are in need by providing clothing, coats, hygiene products, meals, and pretty much anything else that we can give out and distribute into the community for those who are less fortunate than ourselves. So the education and empowerment component really does give people the necessary tools to empower themselves and to build their lives and to go in a positive direction and walk in their purpose. Everything that God has called them to do is giving them the tools to do that. You know, we take it for granted that we know these things and that, you know, we think that everybody knows the steps that they're supposed to take in order to be better, but a lot of people really don't. So they're looking for that source that they can go to where they can get some help to learn how to empower themselves and their families. And so that's pretty much what it is that we do.
That's interesting that you say that we assume that people know what to do, but we can't assume that because not everyone was raised the way that we were raised or
exactly.
Other people were raised. And what is easy for some people may be foreign to somebody else, and we're so quick to say, well, they just need to go get a job or they just need
exactly.
to go do a resume. And we are not thinking, well, maybe they've never been taught that. Maybe they never grew up in a household where somebody worked. Maybe they never came out of the projects, you know. So we have to stop thinking like that. Well, you're doing a wonderful work over in Hampton, Virginia, and you minister and you talk to women all the time. What are some tips that you can give those single mothers?
Well, I have a couple. The first one is don't fight your own battle. When it comes to the father of your child, I encourage you to end any drama or negativity coming from that aspect of your life. Why stress? At the end of the day, you cannot force someone to step up to the plate and be a dad. God has to do that, and he has to work on their heart. You can be cordial. You can give them the tools. I mean, you can bring that child and drop them in his arms, but if it's not in their heart to do it, then you are wasting your energy. You know, so the unfortunate truth is that a lot of fathers weren't raised by their fathers, so
that's
they don't
right.
know how to be a dad. They didn't have that example. You know, if the person that you have a child with is willing to effectively co-parent, then by all means, work hard at maintaining that co-parent relationship and help to make that happen for your child. But if it's a source that's just bringing drama and negativity and all of this is happening in front of your child or you're talking bad about them in front of your child, that is just going to cause more problems and it's just going to exacerbate the issue. So I would encourage you to not even fight that battle and to let God handle that part. The second tip that I have is communicate with your children. Please build that rapport and that relationship with your children. We got to remember that single parents generally have to work harder at building rapport because there isn't a second parent that the child can go to talk. You are the end-all, be-all. You are mommy and daddy. So if your children feel like they cannot talk to you, then they are going to sneak. And when they sneak and lie, you are in trouble. So I would encourage you to have that communication built with your daughters, especially your sons. find out what they're doing, what they're into, who they're hanging out with. And remember that in a society, you can't shelter your children from everything. So educate them. Create an atmosphere where they can be open and honest without fear so that you know what is going on. Statistics say that 97% of girls say that if they would have talked to their parents, their teen pregnancy could have been reduced. That's almost 100% of girls,
right,
teenage moms, who are saying that if their moms would have just spoken with them, or their parent, custodial parent, would have spoken with them, their pregnancy could have been reduced, eliminated. The last tip that I have is to never give up on your children. Ultimately, don't let your child fall victim to the streets, to drugs, to gangs, to promiscuity, teen pregnancy, or anything else that's out there waiting to snatch your child from you. At the end of the day, we are fighting a war for our children out here, and if you give up on them, there are so many people in the streets that are waiting to embrace them and take them down the wrong path. So as difficult as it may be, as stressful as it may be, because everything is on you, and you're working, and you're going to school, and you're trying to do a million things, do not give up on your children. Remember that their self-esteem is important. Encourage them every day and remind them that they are the most amazing child and that they are a blessing. Children that don't have their dads around can easily assume that it's because they're not worthy. So it's our job to tell them that they are worthy. Whatever their dad decides to do or not to do, that they are worthy, that they are worth it, and that they are going to be something because you're going to see to it.
Amen. Good tips. Good, powerful tips. Now, Tiana, give the audience your website address. How can they reach Molding Minds, find more information about Molding Minds, and contact you?
You can visit Molding Minds online. We are at www.moldingminds.org. That is my website, and then my phone number is 757-597-4644, and that is straight to the Molding Minds office. And you can leave me a message or you can contact me directly. Visit the website. I put up so many videos and pictures and inspiration. I have a blog up there. So many great things are going on, so much encouragement, so many teaching tips, workshops, and different tools that you can use to help empower yourself and your family. So please visit the website. I work very hard on it. It's my baby. So check it out.
Yes, Lord, that stuff is work.
Yes, I'm telling you, but I thank God for the skills and talents. They just fell in my lap. I don't even know how I started doing web design, but amen.
Amen. So God be the glory. Well, that has been our show. What a blessing you on the show. Once again, Tiana, we're going to have you back once that book is done, but that's another show. So,
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you are more than welcome. Well, you know what? Thank you so much, listeners, for stopping by and sharing 30 minutes with us. I know we went over a little bit, and the entire show will be archived, so you can go back and listen to the full show. I appreciate you so very much. I want you to visit us online, breatheagainmagazine.org. If you are a business or a ministry, or if you're an author or an artist, we need your support. So therefore, why don't you partner with us? Become a Friends Network member. Membership is very affordable. You help us continue doing what we do, and that is reaching those suffering in secret. Give us a call, 757-404-1582. And if you have a powerful testimony, I want to interview you. I want to bring you on the show to share your victorious testimony with others, to let them know that if you made it, that they can too. Follow us on Twitter at Breathe Again and connect with us on Facebook. It is Breathe Again Mag. And I think it's very fitting right now for us to leave today with a tribute to Whitney Houston. She is a music icon, a mother, and a child of God. Gone too soon. Whitney loved the Lord. I didn't know her personally, but I know when I looked at her and I saw her sing, especially when she was singing gospel music, I saw the Lord on the inside of her. You know, she loved the Lord. She had a huge spirit. And so, therefore, when she sang from her spirit. There will be no other Whitney Houston, I don't believe. It was in her heart. God was really in her heart. And you know what? We all have secret struggles. So don't sit around and talk about what she was going through and this, that, and the other and what she did wrong, because if you had a camera on you and you had paparazzi following you, we don't know what would come out. You know, hers was in the limelight. Ours is just in the dark. So we're all struggling with someone. May God bless Bobby Christine, her mother, and the entire family, friends, and loved ones during this difficult time. And you know what? Now, I love this song because when she came out with her album, I fell in love with the song, I Look to You. So I think it's very fitting for us to leave today's show with I Look to You. And catch us next Thursday at 6:30 p.m. God bless you.
I lay me down, heaven hear me now. I'm lost without a cause after giving it my all. Winter storms have come and darkened my sun. After all I love you.